All right, so we'll say good morning, Yaakov. Or up front, either one. In the middle over here or up front? Oh, or over here. Good.
It really bothers me, sorry.
What are you doing?
Was that? No, I was just answering the couple.
Thank you. Thank you, that's very sweet. What'd you put in it?
So you got a little kick to it.
Nothing, keep drinking this first. A little something to breakfast of champions. Yeah, Yaakov, thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry, it's a protein. Thank you. The shul tests me every 30 days. I just want to make sure that no performance enhancing. Shir enhancing. All right, we'll say good morning. So welcome to Maseches Megillah. Again, a welcome. I want to give a special welcome to Rabbi Sonnenschein, who's joining us now, beginning Yemir Tzanshem from Megillah through the end of Shas. Yemir Tzanshem. Yeah, he told me just from Megillah, but it's going to... All right, then we'll say again a welcome back to everybody as we continue again through Maseches Megillah, and a welcome, of course, to Noam, to Zachariah, to Mayan. Such a pleasure to have everybody here. Oh, Hashem. All right, so we begin with the opening Mishnah, Maseches Megillah. Megillah nikreis b'yud aleph b'yud gimel b'yud beis b'yud gimel b'yud dalet b'tesvav. The Megillah is read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th of the month of Adar. L'pachos v'lo yoser. You can't read the Megillah any earlier than the 11th, nor can you read the Megillah any later than the 15th. K'rachanam u'kafin cholimos Yehoshua binun. So cities that were walled at the time of Yehoshua binun, Korin b'tesvav, read on the 15th of Adar. K'farim v'ayoros gidolos. K'farim are villages. Ayoros gidolos are large cities, large unwalled cities. Korin b'yodalad, read on the 14th of Adar. Ella shak farim makdim in the maknisa. But again, we will learn that there was a special leniency that was handed down to the villages that allowed them to go ahead and bump up the reading of the Megillah to the nearest Yom HaKnisi. Yom HaKnisi literally means day of entry, which refers again to Mondays and Thursdays, where members of villages would often enter into the larger cities. If you take a quick look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Ela shakfar makdim li Yom HaKnisa, kilomar me'achar sham mukafin korim b'tesvav, v'she'en mukafin korim b'yodalir. So remember, now we've established that walled cities read on the 15th, and unwalled cities read on the 14th of Adar. So Rashi says, as the Mishnah is answering an unasked question. On one hand, the Mishnah begins by saying the Megillah could be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. On the other hand, we've just established that walled cities read on the 15th, unwalled cities read on the 14th. If that's the case, then where do you ever come up with the Megillah being read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th? To which the Mishnah essentially answers, Ela shakfarim nasnu lahem chachamim rishus lahakdim kriyasul meknisa. Rather, the rabbis gave the villages a dispensation to go ahead and move up their readings to the Yom HaKnisa, to the day of entry. Yom sheni b'shabish lefnei yudalet, o chamishi b'shabish, shi Yom HaKnisa. Because again, the villages, shakfarim miskansin la'ayaros, lemishbat, lefi shabate dinin yoshin ba'ayaros, b'sheni u'bechamishi kitakanas Ezra. So I will say, interestingly enough, what's unique about Mondays and Thursdays? Mondays and Thursdays were days in which the people who lived in the small villages would often go ahead and go into the large city. Why? For adjudication. Ultimately, for their legal basis, the Beis Din would sit in session. One of the takanas of Ezra is that, but they didn't sit in session on Mondays and Thursdays, so the people from the small villages would enter into the larger cities to adjudicate their particular legal disputes. And therefore, Rashi goes on, Vakfarim einon bekiyin. Now, why do the villages need to do this? Because often in the villages, they did not have someone who was proficient enough to read the Megillah. Utzrichin shikra ena lahem echa mibnei ha'ir. And again, they need someone from the larger city to be able to read for them. Velo hitzrichum chachamim lehisacher velava biyom yodalim. And therefore, again, interesting enough, we will see that the rabbis did not require them to have to go. See, meaning you could easily say, okay, villages, if you don't have someone anyone who's able to read the Megillah for you, no problem. What should you do? On the 14th of Adar, go to a city. So we'll see why the Chachamim did not obligate them to do that. Rather, the Chachamim said that they could already read the Megillah on the closest day of entry, meaning the closest Monday and Thursday prior to the 14th. Back to the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah goes through all the various cases. Ketzad. So how does this work? Chalios Yudale B'Sheni, if the 14th of Adar fell out on a Monday, so about like Kfarim Vayaros Gilos Karma Bayom. So villages and large unwalled city read on that day. It works out well for everybody. Obviously, unwalled cities will read on that day because it's the 14th. Villages will also read on that day. Why? Why? Because it's a Monday. Because anyway, they're coming into the larger cities on that, the larger cities on that day. Umukavos Choma and walled cities Lamacha read on the next day, the 15th. Chalios B'Shlisha B'Revi, if the 14th fell out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, Kfarim Makdim and Liyamaknisa. So Rabbosai, again, villages will go ahead and read when? Will read again on the previous Monday, which would be either what? Which would be either the 13th or the 12th. Unwalled cities will go ahead and read on that day, the 14th. Umukafas Chomalamachar, and walled cities will read the next day. Chalios Bechamishi, if the 14th fell out on a Thursday. So again, remember, it's a Yom HaKnisa, it's a market day anyway. Therefore, again, Kfarim Va'ayaros Kidolos Korin Bo Bayom. If that's the case, again, villages, unwalled cities will read on that day. Umukafas Chomalamachar, walled cities will read the next day, the 15th. Chalios Erev Shabbos. I, what happens if? What happens if the 14th falls out on a Friday? In that case, Kfarim Makdim Liyamaknisa. So again, villages will go ahead and read on the previous Thursday, meaning the day before. Va'ayaros Gdos Mukafas Choma Korin Bo Bayom. Now, interesting enough, in this case, you'll have walled cities and unwalled cities reading on the same day. Why? Because as we will see, you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. You can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Therefore, We're going to get to it. We have 30 days of this ahead of us. So all the Mishnah is telling us is that, again, walled cities do not read on Shabbos. In that case, again, walled cities will move back their reading to the 14th as well. So villages, so again, remember, this is on the 14th on Erev Shabbos. Villages will read on the Thursday before, meaning the 13th, and unwalled cities and walled cities, Korin Bo'yom, will read on a Friday as well. Chalios B'Shabbos. If the 14th falls out on Shabbos, in that case, Kfarim Vayaros Gedolos Makdim V'Korin Liyamaknisa. So we'll say, again, interestingly enough, in this case where 14th falls out on Shabbos, so once already we know that unwalled cities can't read on their particular day, so Lemaisa, once we're moving it back, we might as well go ahead and move everyone back to the same day. Therefore, in that case, again, so unwalled cities as well as villages will read on the Thursday before the Yom HaKnisa. Umukavas Chom L'Machar, and walled cities will read the following day, Sunday, which is the 15th. Chalios Achra Shabbos. What happens if the 14th falls out on a Sunday? In this case, Kfarim Makdim Liyamaknisa. In this case, Rabbosai, again, villages will read the previous Thursday. Va'ayoros Kidolos Korin Bo Bayom. And unwalled cities will read on that particular day, that Sunday. Umukafas Chomalamachar, and walled cities will now go ahead and read the next day, Monday, on the 15th. So Rabbosai, the reason why the Mishnah gives all these variations is because this is how we emerge with 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Says the Gemara. Megillah Nikreis B'yod Aleph. There's a Gemara over here for you. So says the Gemara. Megillah Nikreis B'yod Aleph Minolan. So we'll say now, the Gemara asks an interesting question. The Gemara says, how do we know that the Megillah can be read on the 11th? Now, what the Gemara is asking over here is not just the 11th, but how do I know the Megillah can be read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th? So the Gemara says, Minolan. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, What the Gemara is asking is the following. How do we know that the 11th, 12th, and 13th are fit for the reading of the Megillah? Because after all, the Megillah only mentions the 14th and the 15th of Adar. The Kamahadr Gemara, Minalon, Bitmiya, Hailav Chovehi, Elachachamim Hekilu Alin Kidabin Lameir Lakaman. So what's very interesting? The Gemara's question seems to be asked, how do we know that there's an obligation to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, After all the Megillah itself is mentioned is what? Is the 14th and the 15th, to which the Gemara answers, no, you misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not saying that there's an obligation to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Rather, what does the Mishnah say? The Chachamim hikilu ala kfarim lios makdim liyom aknisa. Rather, what the Mishnah is expressing is what? Is a leniency, is a kula. The Chachamim, the sages, allowed for the villages to go ahead and read, or to push back their reading to the Yom HaKnisa, to the entry day. We'll call it the market day. Kid, why? Now, interesting, we'll say, now the Mishnah, the Gemara over here advances a reason that the Mishnah did not. Kidei, sheyispeko mayim umazon lachem shebekrachim. In order that the villagers have the ability to supply food and drink to their brethren in the larger cities. Now look at Rashi. Kidei sheyispeko, sheyupinuyin b'yom purim lahaspik tzarchi sudas purim libnei ha'ayaros. This is very interesting. So remember, again, From the Mishnah, the way Rashi explained it, is the reason why there's a dispensation for the villages to read the Megillah earlier was why? Was because there was a concern. They don't have people in the small villages to read the Megillah. And the truth is they're already going into the larger cities on the Mondays and Thursdays. So if you could imagine to make them, if they're going in on a Monday, to then make them come back on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, is a big tircha. So the rabbis relaxed the standards and allowed them to read earlier. The Gemara is advancing another reason, which we'll get into later on. Not today, which is that, again, remember, where did food come from? Food came from the surrounding villages. On Purim, there is a mitzvah of Sudan. There is a mitzvah of Havtal, the celebratory meal. Where were the city dwellers getting their food from? They were getting it from the villages. In order that the villagers are able to go ahead and devote themselves to supplying the Sudan needs of the larger cities, the rabbis allowed them to read the Megillah earlier. Because if they have to read the Megillah on the 14th, what's going to happen? I'm not going to have my brisket. So if I'm not going to have my brisket, again, that's going to be a problem for my Purim Suda. Therefore, Lamaisa, again, we allow the villagers to read earlier in order that they be free on Purim to provide for the food needs of the surrounding cities. Now, we'll see how to reconcile these two approaches later on in the Gemara. So, I'm sorry? Or it could be that the cities went to them, but it could be that they were coming back to supply. That's possible. So we'll see how. No, we're going to get to all of this. We have to work through this. Michti, again, remember, welcome to Talmud. So again, we say stuff and then we take the time to explain it afterwards. Right? So Mir Tashem, we're gonna get to all of this. I'm just pointing out to you again, just from the beginning, that there are already two different reasons that seem to be given for the villagers' ability to read the Megillah earlier. We'll get right now. We're not only talking about Megillah. We're not talking about celebration of Purim. That we'll get to later. So Michti. So now the Gemara analyzes this. Let us look at this. Kulu Anshei Knesset Hagadol Taknino. It must have been Rabbi Zayn that the Anshei Knesset Hagadol, the men of the Great Assembly, i.e. the Rabbanon, when they established the Yom Tov of Purim, already built in these days of 11, 12, and 13. Meaning, when you read the Mishnah, you could look at it and you could say, well, maybe original Purim was 14 and 15, like the Megillah says, and sometime later on, they decided to add in 11, 12, and 13. The Gemara says that can't be. It must be that 11, 12, and 13 were part of the original institution of Purim. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, because if you say that the rabbis only originally instituted the 14th and the 15th for Purim, Asu Rabbanon va'akri takanta detakinu anshei knesset hagdola. Could a later rabbinic body come along and literally uproot the original institution of Purim? Meaning, could a later body come along and introduce new dates to Purim? You can't do that. V'hatnan ein beis din yochol levatal divrei beis din chavero. Rabbi say one beis din cannot annul the ruling of another beis din, ela imkin gadol mimeno bechachma b'minyan, unless of course that latter beis din is greater in number and wisdom than the earlier beis din. Ela pshita kulu anshei knesset hagadola tekinu. Rather, I will say what we have to say. What we have to say that lemaisa, the days of 11, 12, and 13 were part of the original institution of Purim. That it's not the pshat that original Purim was just 14 and 15, and sometime later on in history they added 11, 12, and 13. That can't be true, because most of that would create a legal issue with changing enactments of rabbinic bodies. That could only be done if you assemble a rabbinic body of greater number, greater wisdom. And even though, again, remember, you could say the later body is not really changing it because they're still keeping 14 and 15 there. That's still called changing it if you add on additional dates. Rather, it must be that from the beginning giving the institution of Purim allowed for reading of the Megillah on 11, 12, and 13. So what is the Gemara asking? Rather, what the Gemara is really asking is, Hechar Amiza, where do we see a remez, where do we see a scriptural allusion in the Megillah itself that allows for these additional dates? Because there's one thing that you can't argue with, which is that the Megillah only talks about days 14 and 15. The Megillah makes no mention of 11, 12, and 13. If that's the case, where do we see a hint to 11, 12, and 13? Amrav Shman Bar Abba, and what we're really going to see is, what we're really looking for a hint for is days 11 and 12. We'll see why we're not really looking for a hint for day 13 for reasons we'll discuss. So Shman Bar Abba said in Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Kra, the Pasuk says, Lekayim Esimei HaPurim Ha'ila Bizmanehem. The Megillah says, to uphold the days of Purim, these days of Purim, Bizmanehem, in their times, plural. Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lahem. You see from here that what? That the rabbis instituted many times for the reading of the Megillah. To which the Gemara says, one second, Hai mi baile lugufe. But I will say that Zmanehem is necessary to teach us something else. What does it teach us? It teaches us the 14th and 15th, right? That just teaches us just the basic dates of Purim, which are 14 and 15. En kein lema kra zman. If that's the case, the Pasuk did not need to go ahead and use the plural of Zmanehem. It could have just said, L'kaimis me'apurim ha'ila bizman, in its time, and in its time would have referred to 14 and 15. My Zmanehem, why does it have to say Zmanehem, plural? Zmanim tuva, to teach us that there are additional dates above and beyond the 14th and 15th. I va'akati miboile, but yet again, that it's pasuk is still necessary to teach us what? Zmano shalzeh, lo zmano ki zmano shalzeh. But I will say, the pasuk of Zmanehem teaches us another important halacha, which is what? You might have thought that when it says 14 and 15, so what is that? It's an either or, right? You want to do 14, you do 14, you want to do 15, it could be a matter of convenience. Therefore, Zmanehem teaches us what? That each area, each locale, has its own distinct Zman, and one Zman is not like the other. Imkein limakra zmanom. If that's the case, that the word was only coming to teach us that Rabbi said those who read on the 14th read on the 14th and not on the 15th, and those who read on the 15th read on the 15th and not on the 14th, you could have accomplished that by just saying the word zmanom. My zmanehem. See, Rabbi, what the Gemara is picking up on is zmanehem is a more protracted form of the word. So why would the Megillah use a more protracted form of the word? Shamas mina kulu. It teaches us all of these things. It teaches us, again, number one, that Rabbi Osai, this is the 14th and 15th. It also teaches us that what? That Lamaisa, again, it's an either or. You can't read. It's not, you can't pick and choose. If there are some who read on the 14th and not the 15th, some read on the 15th, not the 14th. And it also teaches us what? It also teaches us that Lamaisa, there are additional dates of 11, 12, and 13. Or 11 and 12, I should say. To which the Gemara says, Shmalas mina kulu, Ema zmanim tuva. So why don't you say perhaps it comes to go ahead and include, maybe Zmanehem comes to teach you what? Even more dates. Maybe you could read the Megillah on the 9th, the 10th, the 8th, the 7th. Meaning, why just stop it? Why just begin it at the 11th? Maybe it comes to include many more dates. To which the Gemara says, Zmanehem dumya dizmanom. Because the word Zmanehem must resemble the model of Zmanom. Ma Zmanom trey. Rabbi said, just like Zmanom means two dates, af Zmanehem trey. So too Zmanehem also means two dates. So Rabbi said, the Gemara is assuming that the two dates are what? 11, 12, but that 13 is obvious. We'll see why. To which the Gemara says, one second. Ve'ima, tresar tlesar. So say that Zmanehem comes to teach me what? That I could read the Megillah on the 12th and the 13th, but it doesn't allow for what? The 11th. To which the Gemara says, no. Kida Amar Rav Shmuel, Kida Rav Shlomo Yitzchok, Yod Gimel Zman Kehila Lakolhi. Both say, the 13th of Adar was a gathering time for everyone. Look at Rashi. Remember, Rashi goes on both columns on this page. This is in the left-hand column of Rashi. Zman Kehila Lakolhi. So again, the 13th was the time of gathering for everyone. Hakol Nikalu Lihinoke Me'ovehem. On the 13th of Adar, both say, everyone got together to fight against their enemies. Bein B'Shushan, Bein B'Shar Makomos. Whether it was on Shushan or on other places. Kimoshek Kasa b'sefer, as it's written in the Megillah, Hilchach lo tzarech kralu rabuye she ro'i likari likriya de'ikra hanis bohaya. Rabbi says, so amazing enough, the Gemara says, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that I could read the Megillah on the 13th of Adar. Why not? Because the 13th of Adar was the actual day of the miracle. It was the actual day where the Jews amassed and went to fight against their enemies. So it's obvious. Rabbi says, now we call that day Tanis Esther. Now the truth is that it's not. When the Megillah speaks about the Tanis of Esther was actually much earlier when she fasted to go ahead and come before Achashverosh. So we call it Tanis Esther, but it's not really, it doesn't really correspond correspond to the fast of Esther before she went to Achashverosh, because as Dr. Truman just said, that was really Pesach time. But we call it Tanis Esther. The Yod Gimel, what we call Tanis Esther, was a day in which all of the Jews fasted because they went to war against their enemies. Says the Gemara, you could certainly read the Megillah on that day, and I don't even need a Pasuk to teach me that, because that was the day when the Iker miracle of Purim occurred. Therefore, the Pasuk of Zmanehem comes to teach me what? Two additional dates. So now, if the 13th is obvious, then what are the two additional dates it teaches me? 11 and 12. So the Gemara says, Hachanam Yod Gimel Zmanki Lakolhi V'lo Tzarach L'Rebuye. I the Emar Shisar V'Shivsar. So one second, maybe Zmanehem comes to add in dates, not before, but maybe what? Maybe afterwards, maybe comes to add on that I could read the Megillah on the 16th and the 17th. You can't, because the Megillah says, V'lo Ya'avar. I will say, because the Megillah says that these are the days of Purim, V'lo Ya'avar, and they shall not pass, which indicates that 15th is the last day for observance of Purim. You cannot observe Purim anywhere past the 15th. So I will say, this is all the opinion of Rav Shman Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that we learn out the additional dates from just simply from the word Zmanehem. Next opinion. Rav Shlomo Bar Nachmani says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Kayomim asher nachu bahem hayehudim. The Pasuk says, like the days on which the Jews rested. Yomim ki yomim. So I'll say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara is picking up on is, it could have just said, yomim asher nachu bahem hayehudim. When it says, ki yomim asher nachu bahem, what does that say? That there are other days like the days on which the Jews rested. So the Jews rested, the Jews celebrated on the 14th and 15th. There are other days that are like the 14th and 15th. What does that come to include? L'rabos yud aleph yud beis. It comes to include the 11th and 12th of Adar. I, again, the Ema Tracer, Tlesar, say that it comes to include not the 11th and 12th, but the 12th and 13th. No, because again, because again, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that I can read the Megillah on the 13th, because the 13th was the day that everyone assembled, the day of the Iker miracle of Purim, where we fought against our enemies. Therefore, it doesn't need a pasuk to teach me that I can read the Megillah on that date. Maybe Kiyamim comes to teach me that the additional days are what? Not on the front end, but on the back end, on the 16th and 17th. Can't do that again. The Megillah says that the observance of Purim shall not pass over, and therefore, again, you cannot do it anywhere past the 15th. Rabbi, these are the two opinions. So says the Gemara, Rosh Shlomo Bar Nachmani, my time alo amar mibizmanehem. So why does Rosh Shlomo Bar Nachmani, who learns that from Kiyamim, why does he not hold like Rosh Shman Bar Abba, who learns it out from Zmanehem, to which he answers, which the Gemara answers, Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem, lo mashmalei. Because Rosh Shlomo Bar Nachmani does not subscribe to this whole drasha of Zman, Zmanehem, or Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem. Essentially, what the Gemara is answering is that Rosh Shlomo Bar Nachmani did not have a Masorah. He did not have a tradition for that particular drasha. For Rav Shman Bar Abba, my time alo amar mikiyamim, and why doesn't Rav Shman Bar Abba hold like Rav Shlomo Bar Nachmani and learn it out from kiyamim? Amar lecha, hahu ledoros hu dechsiv. Rav said, interesting, Rav Shman Bar Abba says, no, I make the drasha of kiyamim, but kiyamim comes to teach us what? That the observance of Purim was instituted not just for that generation, but rather what? For future generations as well. Kiyamim, we are obligated to replicate. We are obligated to replicate those days in future generations. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So it's Rabbi Yochanan's name, Rabbi Yochanan. Zu div Rabbi Akiva stimsoi. So our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. Didorish zman, zmanom, zmanehem. And because Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the drasha of Rav Shman Bar Abba, and he learns out these additional days from the phrase Zmanehem. The Chachamim say, Ein korin osa ela bizmana. But Jabosai, according to Rabbi Yochanan's view, the Chachamim say there are no additional days. There are only two days in which you could read the Megillah, and that is the 14th and 15th. You may not read it on any additional date. Says the Gemara, Meisveis, let's raise a kasha. Amr Rabbi Huda said, Rabbi said, this is very interesting. A Masai, when do we say that the villages have the ability to read earlier, that the villages have the ability to read on the 11th and 12th and 13th, meaning that they could be makdim, they could push back the reading to the Yom HaKnisa, to the day on which they are entering into the village, to the larger cities anyway. Bizman shashanim kitiknon, that's when the years are arranged properly. Rashi says over here, shashanim kitikun, shashanim is abros api bezdin, that the years literally are established by bezdin. Vachadoshim hamikachin bezdin, Beis Din Sholchin Shluchin Lodia a Masai Hukdash. The Hukdash Din Nisan VaOsin Modim Api Shluchin. So when do we say that the villages could go ahead and move up the reading of the Megillah? That's when the years and the months are established by Beis Din, and Beis Din sends out messengers to tell everybody when the real Rosh Chodesh was or is. V'Yisrael Shruin Al Masa, and the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael. Aval B'Zman Hazeh, but now Hoyel U'Mistaklin Ba. Now that we look at it, Ein Korin Ose Al B'Zman. Rabbi said this is amazing, but now Rabbi Huda is reflecting of the post second Beis Hamikdash, the post the Churban era. There is no Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Din is not sending out shluchim, is not sending out messengers to reach all of the organized or to all of the organized diaspora communities. What about say, when do people figure out when Pesach is? How do people figure out Pesach? What do they do? They figure it out based on Purim. Whenever Purim is, people begin to count 30 days from Purim. I mean, depending where you live, 30 or 31. And they realize that that is the time from which, again, Pesach is. Says Rabbi Yehuda, we therefore no longer allow the villages to read any earlier than the 14th. Why? Because if the villages go ahead and read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, what's going to happen? It's going to create confusion. People are going to assume that whenever you're reading the Megillah, that's going to mean Holum is Staklin Ba. We look at the reading of the Megillah, and we assume that whenever the reading of the Megillah is, that's Purim. People will count off 30 days from there, and they'll end up what? They'll end up, again, starting Pesach a little bit earlier doesn't concern us all that much. What concerns us is what? Is ending it earlier. That's the problem. They may end up going ahead and eating chametz on Pesach itself. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, he says, Aval bizman hazeh shepasku kol eila. All of these things have stopped. Meaning, again, there is no organized basin that is declaring the new month. There is no organized basin that is declaring the years. There are no agents, messengers that are heading out to declare to the outlying communities when Rosh Chodesh is. V'Yisrael nifredu, and we're all scattered and dispersed. V'lo yakiu shluchei basin etzlam. And again, the messengers of basin will not reach the diaspora communities. Hakol tzofa l'mikra Megillah. Everyone establishes Pesach by looking at the Megillah. V'omrim, and again, he goes through the rest of it. So therefore, says Rabbi Huda, therefore, we no longer have this practice in the Churban era. Rabbi Huda Ali B'deman. Now, who is Rabbi Huda's opinion reflecting? Ali B'deman. Ilim Ali B'deman. Rabbi Akiva. If it's Rabbi Akiva, Afilu B'zman Hazeh. Now, we'll say, remember again. Rabbi Akiva is the one who said, Rabbi Akiva is the Tana of our Mishnah. And Rabbi Akiva seems to be reflecting the view of Rav Shmuel bar Abba. That's Manehem means that you could even read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Now, Rabbi Osai, again, remember, when did Rabbi Akiva live? Now, Rabbi Akiva lived during times of the second Beis Hamikdash as well. But remember, Rabbi Akiva's primary career as a halachic decisor was when? Was after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And yet, Rabbi Akiva still holds that even after the destruction, you could still what? You can still read on the 11th, the 12th, on the 13th. However, it must be, I'm sorry. Ali b'Rabbi Akiva, afilu b'zman hazeh isla haitakanto. So according to Rabbi Akiva, even he would disagree. Even b'zman hazeh, so the villages could read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. El alav ali b'drabanan. But rather, again, it must be reflective of the view of the Rabbanan. O b'zman shashonim ketiknon v'yisrael shiruyin alad masan. But rather, again, it must be reflective of the view of the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan hold that when could the villages read earlier? That's only when the years are organized by Beis Din. Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael. However, Mio Karinon. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That the Chachamim do agree that Lamaisa, when all of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz, or most of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, and the years are established by Beis Din, that's what villages can read earlier. This contradicts what we just said before, because earlier Rabbi Yochanan said that according to the Chachamim, villages never read earlier, villages always read on the 14th. So clearly here this contradicts Rabbi Yochanan's assertion, Tiyuft Rabbi Yochanan Tiyuchan, and indeed, Rabbi Osai, this contradicts Rabbi Yochanan, this refutes Rabbi Yochanan's assertion, this is indeed a refutation. So Lamais, again, what comes out is that even the Chachamim agree that as when Beis Din is organizing the years and the months, and when Beis Din, when Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, even the Chachamim would agree that the villagers have the ability to read earlier. Says the Gemara. Ikud Amri. Others have a different version of this previous discussion. Amra Bar Bachana, Amra Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Bachana said to Rabbi Yochanan, Zudiv Rabbi Akiva Stimsoi. Our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva Stimsoi. V'achacham Ram, the Chum say, Bizman Hazeh, in this time, Hovil U'mistaklin Ba, now that people look at the Megillah to establish when Pesach is going to be in Korin Osala Bismana. You can only read the Megillah at its appointed time. Tanyanami Hachi, even for the villages. We have a Braisa that supports this. Amra Bihuda, a Masai Bisman Shashanam Kitiknon. Vyasoshuin Al Masan. When do we say this? That villages have the ability to read earlier, says Rabbi Huda. Only when the years are established by Beis Din. Kla Yisrael lives in Eretz Yisrael. Aval Bisman Zeb, now in this time, i.e., after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Holum Istaklimba, since people look at the reading of the Megillah to establish when Pesach is going to be, in Korin Osa Ela Bismano, we only read the Megillah in its appointed time on the 14th. So we'll say that ends that discussion. Rav Ashi, Kashila Rabbi Huda ad Rabbi Huda. So Rav Ashi notes a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Huda. What are the two statements? Umokim lo lebraisek Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. So we'll say, and as a result of that contradiction, which we don't know which a contradiction is yet, but because of what Rav Ashi perceived to be a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Ashi reconciled the contradiction by attributing one of the opinions to Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. So we'll say, now again, what are the contradictions? Based on the base second line, Amar umi Amar Rabbi Yehuda bizman hazeh. So the contradiction is like this. Umi Amar Rabbi Yehuda bizman hazeh. To Rabbi Yehuda say the following. Bizman hazeh, in this time, hoel umistaklin ba in korno sa'ala bizmana. So both remember, we just had Rabbi Yehuda on record as saying what? That today. Today means what? In the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, where people look to the reading of the Megillah as a calendrical sign that it's now Purim, and they'll count off 30 days from there to go ahead and begin the observance of Pesach. So that was Rabbi Huda's position. So the Gemara now questions that. Did Rabbi Huda really say that? After all, or mini, Amar Rabbi Huda, says Rabbi Huda, a Masai, when is this true that we allow the villages to go ahead and read earlier? Makom shenichnasan b'shenim b'chamishi. That's only a village that enters into the larger cities on Mondays and Thursdays. Aba makom she'in nichnasan b'shenim b'chamishi. But if you have a village that does not go into the larger cities on Mondays and Thursdays, ein korin osa ela bismano. You only read the Megillah in its appointed time. However, makom shenichnasan b'shenim b'chamishi. But if you have a village that does in fact go to the larger city on Mondays and Thursdays, miha karinan, they do read, meaning on the earlier dates, va'afilu bisman hazeh, even in this time. So Rabbi Yosi, now you have Rabbi Huda contradicting himself, because beforehand we said that Rabbi Huda holds that what? That bisman hazeh, in today's day and age, then what? Then lemaisa, villages do not read earlier. Why? Because if we allow villages to read earlier, what's going to happen? Mass confusion about the date of Pesach. And yet here in this braisa, Rabbi Huda says what? That even now, contemporarily, villages, as long as they in fact go into the larger cities on Mondays and Thursdays, are permitted to go ahead and read the Megillah earlier, on the closest Yom HaKnisa prior to the 14th. So Rabbi Huda is contradicting himself. Does he allow this contemporarily or not? And how do we reconcile this? So we establish that this braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. So again, I also remember, just to follow the train of thought over here, Rav Ashi is the one who's asking this kasha. Rav Ashi is positioning the statement of Rabbi Yehuda we had on Amud Aleph that says that contemporarily we do not allow villages to bump up the date of the reading of the Megillah because it may create confusion. But yet we have a braisa that is called in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that allows for villages even today to bump up the reading with one caveat, which is what? That they normally do in fact enter into the larger cities on Mondays and Thursdays. So the way Rav Ashi goes ahead and reconciles that contradiction or addresses that contradiction is by saying that what? Is by saying, Umokin on the Bryce, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. That this price that we just quoted is not Rabbi Yehuda. Who is it? It's Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. It's another opinion. So there is another opinion that says that even contemporarily, small villages are permitted to go ahead and read earlier, as long as they in fact do enter into the larger cities on Mondays and Thursdays. So Rabbi Yehuda has a shita. We don't allow the villages to read earlier now because it will go ahead and create confusion. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda disagrees, argues on that. One second. When we shouldn't consciously Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda. Mokim lo lebraisi Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. So the Gemara says, but that doesn't make sense. So we'll say, just because you have a braisa that contradicts the position of Rabbi Yehuda, so why don't you work through it? Meaning, what the Gemara is essentially saying is, Rav Ashi, you're taking the easy way out, right? The easy way out of any contradiction is how? To attribute the contradictory statement to another opinion. But how do you know that's true? Maybe, in fact, they're both statements of Rabbi Yehuda. And you have to try to figure out how to reconcile those two statements, to which the Gemara says, no. Rav Ashi Shmila de'ika de'tani la k'rab Yehuda, ve'ika de'tani la k'rab Yossi bar Yehuda. Both say there was a machlokes as to the attribution of this particular brisa. Some explained that in fact the brisa was attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, and others explained that the brisa was attributed according to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Umidekashli Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda, and the fact that this brisa poses a contradiction, poses a kasha to a previously stated shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Rav Ashi said, Amar, man ditani k'rab Yehuda, lav dafka. He said the one who attributed this price to Rav Yehuda was not careful in his words. Man ditani k'rab Yossi bar Yehuda, dafka. So we'll say, so Rav Ashi's not taking an easy way out. Rav Ashi's saying clearly, remember, there is an opinion that exists that attributes the price not to Rav Yehuda, but rather who? Rav Yossi bar Yehuda. And the fact that there's another statement of Rav Yehuda that contradicts this brisa, you put all of this together and you arrive at the conclusion that what? That the attribution of the brisa to Rav Yehuda is erroneous, and rather this brisa must indeed reflect the view of Rav Yossi bar Yehuda. So what we are left with are two distinct shitos. We have Rav Yehuda, who holds that bizman hazeh, contemporarily in this day and age, we do not allow the villages to go ahead and read any earlier, even if in fact they do enter into the larger cities on Mondays and Thursdays. Why? Because that earlier reading of the Megillah will create confusion for the dispersed diaspora community as to the proper date of Pesach. But whereas Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda still holds that what? That even contemporarily we allow for the villages to read earlier. We'll see halacha l'maisa we paskin like. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kirachin amukafin chomim os Yoshua benun. So also, if you have villages, well, you already know who we paskin like. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because I'm also, again, contemporarily, again, we don't have any dispensation for smaller villages to read at an early date. Again, we'll see certain exceptions where people can read a little bit earlier, but as an institutionalized practice, again, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore all unwalled cities, be it large cities or small villages, will all read on the 14th. I have to finish the daf again. Again, you know, we'll do Tafiomi karaoke. You know, I'll take your questions at the end. So he says, "Krachan v'kaf nechomos meyeshua benon korin mechamisha." So suppose I can remember. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that, remember, walled cities, or cities that were walled at the time of Yehoshua benon, read on the 15th of Adar. Minhani mili. So where do I know this from? So again, remember, the Mishnah stated this just as a statement, but where do I know this from? So Amar Rava says, the Amar Krak, because the Pasuk says, Al Kain HaYehudim HaProzim HaYoshin Ba'ari HaProzos. So Rava says, because the Pasuk says, therefore the Jews, Prozim, who were sitting in the cities, Hayoshim Ba'aria Prozos, who were sitting in the cities, literally the cities of the cities, Aria Prozos. Made the Prozim, and I both say a Proz, remember Prozim refer to large unwalled cities. So the Megillah explicitly tells me that those who lived in the unwalled cities went ahead, Osim Es Yom Arbaasar L'chodesh Adar Simcho Mishta. So again, the Megillah explicitly tells me that those who lived in the unwalled cities went ahead and celebrated Purim on the 14th. Mideprazim ba'ar ba'asar, from the fact that, again, the unwalled cities read on the 14th, mukafin bechamisha asar. Therefore, again, walled cities read on the 15th. And I will say, again, so understand, the Megillah itself allows for the reading of the 14th and the 15th. The fact that the Megillah says that the unwalled cities read on the 14th indicates to us what? That the walled cities read on the 15th. I be'ema prozim ba'ar ba'asar umukafin klag kalalo. Well, maybe it means to say like this. Maybe the unwalled cities read on the 14th and walled cities don't read at all. So the Gemara says, that can't be. The Lav Yisrael Ninu. Rabbi say, are not the residents of the walled cities part of the Jewish people as well? Therefore, obviously, they have to read also. So therefore, they must be reading on the 15th. So the Gemara says, Va'od, furthermore, Mehodu Vad Kush. Furthermore, the Megillah says that what? That Lamaisa, they would read the Megillah, everyone from Hodu Ad Kush, which was the entirety of Ahasuerus' kingdom, which of course included what? Included walled and unwalled cities alike. Ve'ema prazim ba'ar besar, mukafin ba'ar besar bechamesar. I would say unwalled cities read on the 14th, and walled cities have a choice. They could either read on the 14th or the 15th. Kidichsiv, Lios osim es yom arba asar l'chodesh adar, ve'es yom chamish asar b'chol shana. Well, it's very interesting. So maybe the Gemara is following the idea. Remember, here's what we know. The Megillah does say explicitly that unwalled cities read on the 14th. But maybe walled cities read on the 14th or the 15th. After all, the Pasuk itself does say that they will go ahead and celebrate the day of the 14th of Chodesh Adar, and then the 15th. In every single year as a Yom Tov, to which the Gemara says, well, one second. If it would have said that they should celebrate the 14th and the 15th, I would agree. Hashta dechsiv es yom arba'asar ve es yom chamisha asar asa es upasik. I will say, it's very interesting. So had it said, had the pasuk read that you should celebrate the 14th and the 15th, so I would have said, fine, it's an either or. But now that it says es yom arba'asar ve es yom chamisha asar, it's telling you that what? That these are two separate observances. Two separate observances. Asa es upasik. Excuse me. Asa es, the word es comes along and literally separates between the observance of the 14th and the 15th. Hani ba'arba'asar, v'hani b'chamishasar. We'll say first while on a base and base. To teach me that what? These read on the 14th and these read on the 15th. I ve'ema prozim ba'arbesar mukafen ibo ba'arbesar ibo b'chamesar. So why don't you say maybe unwalled cities read on the 14th, but walled cities again read on the 14th or the 15th? Meaning, I will say before we were suggesting that maybe walled cities should read on the 14th and the 15th. Now we're suggesting that no, maybe it's the unwalled cities read on the 14th. Walled cities read either on the 14th or on the 15th. Amakra bizmanehem. Therefore, the pasuk says, in their times, Zmano Shalzeh, lo Zmano Shalzeh. The time of this one, i.e. of the unwalled cities, is not like the time, ultimately, again, of the walled cities. I, ve'ema b'tleisar. So maybe walled cities should read on the 13th, to which the Gemara answers, Kishushan. Because most remember, walled cities will have to conduct themselves like the city of Shushan, which itself was a walled city. Shushan celebrated Purim when? On the 15th, therefore, Lemaisa again, walled cities will also celebrate on the 15th. To which the Gemara says, and this goes back to your point that you raised before, Ashkechon Asiya. That I will say, interestingly enough, just the reverse, all the psukim that the Gemara was quoting over here are all psukim that refer ultimately to the celebration of Purim itself. Zechira Minolan. What about the actual reading of the Megillah? So I'll say, all we've established right now is that Lemaisa, the celebration of Purim on the wall, for the unwalled cities on the 14th, and the celebration of the Purim for the walled cities is on the 15th. And the unwalled cities can't do the 15th, and the walled cities can't do the 14th. But all these psukim are talking about the celebration of Purim. What about what we call Zechira? Zechira means the remembrance, which for our purposes means what? The actual reading of the Megillah. So how do we know that the reading of the Megillah is done on the 15th? It's done on the 15th by walled cities. Amrakra, because the pasuk says, V'hayomim ha'ileh niskarim v'nasim. Because the pasuk says, these days shall be remembered and celebrated. Iskish Zechira l'asiya. Now, both say, now remember, Niskarim means the reading of the Megillah. Naasim means the celebration. Therefore, what is the pasuk doing? It is equating, it is linking the reading of the Megillah with the celebration. So now that we know again, now we know that the celebration takes place on the 15th for walled cities, reading of the Megillah also takes place on the 15th for walled cities. Masnisim d'lo kiyai tana. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of the following tana. Why? Disanya. Because what do you learn in the Brisa? We'll say, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha says, Krachin hamukafin choma miyemos achashverosh. Literally, cities that were walled, surrounded by a wall, at the time of from the days of Achashverosh, korin bechamisha asar. They read on the 15th of Adar. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, my time with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha. Why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha say this? Now, I will say, the operative point of your Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha statement is when? That the identity of a walled city is forged when? At the time of Achashverosh, the time of the Purim story. So any city that had a wall at the time of Achashverosh is considered to be a walled city for Megillah purposes. And if you didn't have a wall at the time of Achashverosh, maybe you had a wall beforehand or you had a wall afterwards, it doesn't matter. You're not counted as a walled city. What's Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha's logic? Kishushan. Because they're both saying the entire Purim observance really emulates Shushan. Shushan, which was the capital of, first of all, Achashverosh's empire, was also what? Was also the seat of all miraculous activity during the time of the Megillah. So, Mash Shushan Mukavas Chomimos Achashverosh, just like Shushan was a walled city at the time of Achashverosh, so to the Korn Bechamisha, sorry, and we read on the 15th, Af Kosh Mukavas Chomimos Achashverosh Korn Bechamisha, so to Rebbe say, any city that was walled at the time of Achashverosh is considered halachically to be a walled city, and will read on the 15th. The Tanit Sabosai again, B'tana didan, my taima, and our tana again, where does he derive his logic from? Now, both sides, what we understand over here is our tana disagrees with that. Now, we'll see how our tana disagrees with that in just a moment. Where does our tana learn out his definition for a walled city from? Yolef prazi prazi. He makes a gzera shava of prazi prazi. Ksiv ha'ka says over here, Al-kin ha'yudim ha'praz. We'll say this is from the Megillah. Therefore, the Jews who lived in the cities, celebrated the 14th. Uksiv hasam levad me'ari ha'prazi harbe ma'od. And over here, he quotes over here from the pasuk in Devarim, talking about, again, the cities that Moshe Rabbeinu conquered, entering into Eretz Yisrael, speaks about, again, levad me'ari ha'prazi, leaving aside the open cities, of which they were many. Malahalon mukafas choma mos Yeshua benun. Afkan mukafas choma mos Yeshua benun. Rabbosai, just like over here in the pasuk in Devarim, so we are referring to, again, cities that had a wall at the time of Yeshua benun. Remember, it's talking about both kinds, talking about the cities that they conquered, the walled cities that they conquered, and this is in addition to the open cities they conquered. So just like in the pasuk, the prazim refers to the unwalled cities that were in existence of walled cities at the time of Yeshua benun, so too, again, when the Megillah mentions prazim also, the definition of a walled city is not a walled city at the time of Achashverosh, but rather what? Cities that had a wall at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So Rabbosai, we now have a fundamental dispute as to when the identity of walled cities is established. According to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, the definition of a walled city for Megillah purposes is what? Any city that had a wall at the time of Achashverosh. According to our Tana, the definition of a walled city is what? Any city that had a wall at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Bishlama Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha lo amar ketana didan. So I understand why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha rejects the reasoning of our Tana. The less lay prazi prazi. He doesn't thought of this gzer shah, prazi prazi. El tana didan, my time lo amak Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. But why does our Tana not subscribe to the view of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha? My time to ha isle prazi prazi. What are you talking about? Because we just said, because he has this gzer shava of prazi prazi. Haki kamar, this is what it means to say. El shushan de avdinon kiman. Rather, according to our Tana, so we'll say it's very interesting. According to our Tana, remember again, learns out the gzer shava of praz praz, which teaches us what? That the definition of a walled city is what, Rabbo say? Any city that had a wall when? At the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. The question is, according to our Tana, what does Shushan do? Because why is Shushan an enigmatic entity? Because on one hand, Shushan had a wall when? At the time of the Purim, sorry, Achashverosh, but yet what? It did not have a wall at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. But yet it would be strange not to go ahead and treat Shushan as a walled city, being that Shushan was the seat of all miraculous activity. So he says, Elo Shushan da Avdilan Kaman. Who do the residents of Shushan conduct themselves according to? Lo kiprazim velo kimukafin. So on one hand, again, Shushan, I guess, can't be considered a walled city because, again, the Nais, it didn't have all time of Yehoshua ben Nun. On the other hand, what? To consider it like an unwalled city when it was the seat of all miraculous activity is strange. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Va'am lekidi, Shani Shushan. No, even our Tana will agree. Shushan is different. Why? Hoil v'na'ase banes. Because it will say, since Shushan was the city in which the miracle occurred, it is the exception to the rule. That even though, again, our Tana accepts the view that the definition of a walled city, Rabbosai, is what? Is a city that had a walled time of Yehoshua ben Nun. And by the way, we will see why our Tana feels compelled to interpret or to create a definition of a walled city like this. Because again, this seems to be a little bit counterintuitive, meaning why not just establish the identity of a walled city in accordance with what was walled at the time of the Purim story? We'll discuss why you can't do that. But even our Tana, that says that the definition of a walled city is a city that has a walled time of Yehoshua ben Nun, will agree that the one city that is an exception to this rule is which city? The city of Shushan. Why? Because even though it didn't have a wall at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, because it was the location, the primary seat of miraculous activity, it is treated like a walled city. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alatana didan, hayne dechsev medinu medina ve'ir ve'ir. So Basa, I understand, according to our Tana, why the Pasuk in the Megillah needs to say, Medina o Medina, when speaking about Rabbosai, the Hayamim Ha'ila, the Pasuk is, and these days, Niskarim v'na'asim b'chol dor v'dor, are literally remembered and celebrated in every generation, Mishpach u'mishpacha, every family, Medina o Medina, every country, ear v'ear. So I understand, according to our Tana, why does it have to say Medina o Medina ear v'ear, teaches me what? Medina o Medina, country and country, the chalek, bein mukafin chomamos, mimos Yeshua benun, mukafas chomamos achashverosh. That comes to distinguish between cities. Medina o Medina actually refers to cities. Refers to cities that had a wall at the time of Yeshua benun, which are treated like walled cities, and other cities that had a, time of achash, that had a wall at the time of achashverosh, but are not treated like walled cities. Ear v'ear, ear v'ear, also, city and city comes to distinguish between what? Nami l'chalek, bein Shushan l'shar ayaros. It comes to distinguish between Shushan and other cities. That even though Shushan did not have a wall at the time of Achashverosh, it's still what? It is still treated like a walled city. A time of Yehoshua, thank you. Rather, it is still treated like a walled city. Ella, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karach. But according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karach, remember, what does Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karach hold? He holds that the definition of a walled city is what? Any city that had a wall time of Achashverosh. So he says, Bishlama Medina u Medina. I understand why I need the phrase Medina u Medina, lechalik bin Shushan, leshar ayaros. That comes to distinguish between Shushan and other cities. Ella ir v'ir lemay asa. But what does ir v'ir come to teach me? Amalecha Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karach. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karach responds, "Ulatana didan minecha." And according to our Tana, do you think that it works? Kevan de isle prazi prazi medina umedina lamali. Even according to our Tana, once you have prazi prazi, why do you need medina medina? Ella kra ledrashu. Rather, Rabosai, the phrase of ear v'ear comes to teach me a drasha. What's the drasha? Ukrit Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi says it's very interesting. Who da'asa? Comes teaching like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, krach v'chol ha-samuch lo, v'chol ha-nira imo, nidon kikrach. So Rabbi says, interestingly enough, ear v'ear comes to teach me what? That Rabbi says, if you have a walled city, so the halacha is that a walled city, any other city that is close to a walled city, and any other city that can see a walled city is what? Treated like a walled city. A fascinating halacha. So remember again, so if you have a city that itself is not walled, but is in proximity to a walled city, well actually we'll explore this halacha a little bit later on. You could see the Masoras HaShas says that we get to this again, Gimel Amud Beis, tomorrow's daf. So we'll see the exact criteria for this. But a city that is within close proximity to a walled city and can see a walled city is treated like what? Like a walled city. Ad kama, and how do you define proximity? So obviously, again, visual range, I can understand, you can see it, but how do you define proximity? Ama ad kama, am rab yirmi avitim rab chiyah bar abba, kimachamton l'tveria. It's a distance between chamson to kveria, to tveria. And how much is the distance between chamson and tveria? A meal. So we'll say, how much is a meal? So let's, for our purposes, call a meal about somewhere between, you know, 1,000 and 1,200 yards. 1,000 and 1,200 yards. So, okay, you could figure that exactly what that is. That's approximately a meal. I velem a meal. So why don't you just say a meal? Why don't you just say a meal, right? Meaning, why do you have, if proximity is established, ultimately, again, from one mil, so why do you have to say the distance from Chamsin and Tveria? Just say a mil. To which the Gemara answers, HaKamash Malon, the Shi'ura de mil, Kamahavi, is to teach us that what? How much is the distance of a mil? Kimechamsin and Tveria. It's very important. In times of the Gemara, and even past that, people remembered different shiurim by things that they were familiar with. So you could tell someone a mil, and you could even tell them the measurement in amos of a mil, but it was easier to tell people, you know how much a mil is? A mil is a distance between A and B. Oh, okay, I know what that distance is. So you want to tell me, oh, between chamsin and tveri is a mil? I understand that. So therefore, the Gemara is just telling us, you're right, it could have just said a mil, but Lamai said, in order to give people an easy way of remembering a shear of a mil, the shear of a mil is between the distance between chamsin and tveri. So we'll say, what comes out over here is we leave off, today we'll stop over here, but we leave off with two major machloksim. Machlokis number one. So first of all, we've established that Lamaisa, we could read the Megillah the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. 14th and 15th are the primary dates established in the Megillah for unwalled and walled cities. We've established again that the additional dates come about because there were leniencies created for the small villages. We saw Machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, if the leniencies for villages still apply today. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says yes, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Why not? Because Lemaisikin, we're concerned that if you allow for those leniencies for villages today, what's going to happen? People are going to get mixed up about the date of Pesach, and because again, people assume when you read the Megillah, that's Purim, they'll count off 30 days from there, and they may erroneously celebrate Pesach on the wrong day. We also saw that Lemaisa, We saw the psukim that support the idea for the fact that walled cities read on the 15th. We saw machlokes between Rabbi Shulba ben Karcha and our Tana as to how we define walled cities. Rabbi Shulba ben Karcha says definition of a walled city is a city that had a wall at the time of when? Of Achashverosh. Our Tana said lemaisa that it's a city that has a wall at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. But even according to our Tana, the one exception will be where? Will be Shushan, even though it didn't have all the time of Yoshua ben Nun, because that is the place in which the miracle occurred. And then the Gemara just kind of segued into this other discussion over here about Lamaisa. What do you do with the extra words Medina, Medina, ear v. ear? And the Gemara ultimately ends up by saying that actually teaches us that Lamaisa, you could have a situation where even if a city itself is not walled, but if it's in close enough proximity and visual connection to a walled city, it could actually have the status of the walled city as well. We'll stop over here. Just again, schedule for tomorrow. I will not be here tomorrow. Yaakov Moshe Nudelman will be giving the shir. So the daf is going to start again at 6 o'clock a.m. 6 o'clock, again, it's a little bit of a longer daf. So Emirat Hashem will start on time. And then we'll resume Emirat Hashem with normal schedule Das Atzmecha on Wednesday at 5:45.
Wednesday or Tuesday?
Tuesday, excuse me. We'll start Tuesday again, regular schedule.